newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, 2 Peter. Let me read to you. Starting at verse 4. Whereby, 2 Peter 1:4, He hath granted unto us His exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of a divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I will tell you about the others, perhaps, as we go along. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so glad that you've left us this written word of God. We are aware that men would have us to keep the Bible closed, that we might not know what you have said to us. But we have opened it and read from it today, and we desire to know more of the things that it tells us as well. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so for what is profitable today, our God, that these things enter our ears and may we understand them and become a part of us. So help us by thy Spirit, we pray. Prepare the hearts of those who listen and the lips of him who speaks, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The five are these. The Lord Jesus, when he first saw Peter and called him to the work, said, "From now on, you're going to catch men." Peter had been catching fish. He said, "Now you're going to catch men." I told you about that last week, about Peter catching men. He told him this in Luke 22. He said, "When you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And Peter has done that. But now there are three things that are left that the Lord Jesus told Peter to do, and they're all found, and I've read it to you in weeks past, in John 21. He asked Peter three times the same question. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my lambs." That's what we want to consider today. Feed my lambs. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, shepherd my sheep. And the last thing, again, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. So the last three of these, he said, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. Why would he break those things down? I would have just said, take care of the flock. But he lets us know that there are young in the flock, and there are old in the flock, and they not only need food, but they need control. He says, shepherd my sheep. Why do you think the shepherd has a rod and a staff? The Lord is my shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is what is frightening unto me, and you do not realize the responsibility that God has placed upon me, but it is to use the rod as Peter did on occasions. You see, when it came to the organization of the church, when it came to shepherding the church, Peter assumed that responsibility as well. When all the time of the apostles was being taken up and they were serving tables, he said, this is not wisdom. He said, we should be teaching the word of God. Let's appoint seven others to take care of these lesser responsibilities of feeding people food. He said, we will feed them the word of God. And they chose seven. But not only that, there was the organization in the church and taking care of the moral difficulties that arise. And I do not know if there is anyone so strong today as Peter or Paul or John that had to deal with the difficult problems that arise in the church and to deal with them severely. In Acts chapter 5, after a beautiful sacrificial illustration given in chapter 4, people were selling the land that they owned, giving everything to the work of the Lord. And what happened was this, that there were two hypocrites named Ananias and Sapphira. And I do not want you to think more of this brother or sister than you think of me. And you've seen these others come and give sacrificially to the Lord. I want to give and have a reputation of generosity. And so what I'm going to do is this. Really, in my heart, there is selfishness. And so what I'm going to do is to pretend that I've sold a parcel of land that was worth $1,000 and I've given it all to the Lord. But instead, I'm just giving $600 worth. You say, well, you gave $600. Such an act of hypocrisy cost Ananias and his Sapphira, his wife, their life. Peter has this responsibility of shepherding the sheep. And here is a sheep that has gotten out of hand. And he tells him, he said, you have played the hypocrite. You pretended to give all, but you've only given a part. You've not lied unto men, but you've lied unto God. And when he said that, the judgment of God fell and he dropped dead. Now, I do not believe that you want God to deal with you that way. Have you ever played the hypocrite, pretending to be more than you really are? That you pray more than you actually do? That you read more in the Bible than you do? That you give more to God than you actually do? Well, in the early church, Peter, in shepherding the sheep, had to use that rod. And he left it in God's hand, because he did not call down the wrath of God upon him. He simply pronounced the hypocrisy in his life, and God judged him with death. And the sad thing is this, that his wife agreed with him in this hypocrisy, and he gave her a chance. He said, "Did you give this much money?" "Yes, that's what we gave." He said, "Your husband has lied, he's dead, and now the same thing is going to happen to you." And she dropped dead. So here is a responsibility that Peter had, and I do not know if I would have that much strength to deal with it. There are certain sins, when they are committed, if the judgment of God physically does not fall upon them, they are to be put out. Because Peter and Paul and John all had that same responsibility. The Apostle Paul was not dealing with hypocrisy in 1 Corinthians 5, but with incest. And what had happened was this. He said, "There is a sin among you that's not even mentioned among the Gentiles, that one of you hath his father's wife." And he said, "And you are proud about it. You are puffed up about it. You are tolerant of this sin." He said, "Rather, your heart should be broken and you should be weeping." And the last thing he says is this. He says, "Put away that wicked man among you. I'm turning him over to Satan, that the flesh might be destroyed, that his soul might be saved in the day of judgment." And so we have Peter dealing severely, and we have Paul dealing severely, and what about John? John had that same problem. He said, "There is one in the church named Diotrephes, and he loves to have the preeminence. And he will not accept me in the church, and he will not accept others that I send to preach in the church." He said, "But I'm going to come, and when I come, I will deal with him." And I want you to remember about James and John. These two are given the name of Boanerges, sons of thunder. Why? Because we find in the Gospel of Luke that when the Lord Jesus was going among the Samaritans, they said, "We do not want you here. We're not allowing you to pass through our country." And James and John said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven the way Elijah did?" And the Lord Jesus said, "You do not know what spirit you are of." And so notice that James and John, they also wanted to deal severely with the people of God. And so you had better thank God for this, that he does not deal with us and hypocrisy and pretension today the way he dealt with them in the olden days. But Peter was told this. He said, "I want you to feed my lambs, and I want you to feed my sheep, and I want you to shepherd my sheep." And that's the hardest thing, to come and just teach you in a way that is harmless, that does not stir you up, that does not challenge you. Why, that's not a difficult thing to do. But when sin arises, to deal with that sin, to put out and to refuse admission into the church those that do not have the spiritual qualifications that the Lord Jesus tells us about, that is something that takes strength. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "You're going to fail me miserably, but after you are converted, after you've repented, after you've done an about face, he said, I want you to strengthen your brethren. And one of the ways of strengthening the brethren is getting rid of the hypocrisy, the pretension, the sin, if it's necessary to excommunicate those that are committing that sin, because the other true believers at Corinth, when that sin was being committed, they were puffed up. Look how tolerant we are. Didn't you know that love tells you that you can cover a multitude of sins? He said, cover a multitude of sins. I'm committing this one to Satan, that his flesh might be destroyed. Put that man away from you. So, you speak of Peter. I see a strength in Peter, as well as a gentleness. But, now, the third responsibility laid upon Simon Peter, that he is fulfilling, and I read it to you, in the first epistle and in the second epistle. In the first epistle, he says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, that's beautiful. How could a man that has just pronounced death upon some turn and say gently, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But he does, because the Lord Jesus said to him, do you love me, Peter? Yes, I love you, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. And that is what he's doing. He says, as newborn babes, their little lambs, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And then I read to you in the second epistle a courtesy that he placed upon those that were in his charge by giving them 8 particular things, 8 steps in their growth, that they would become mature and have a rich entrance into the kingdom of God. So think of this now. Peter tells him at first, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. I wonder if that is in you. I wonder if you have taken milk and you've become so strong that if I gave you the meat of the Word of God, you could digest it. The Apostle Paul and the author of the Hebrews look at the ones for whom they are responsible and they say, I'm not able to do that. The Savior told me to feed the lambs. And he told me to feed the sheep as well. He said in the Epistle to Corinthians, he said, I can't feed you as sheep. I have to feed you as lambs. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat because you're not able to endure the things that I want to tell you. Now that's at the church in Corinth. And then the author of Hebrews says this, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you become such as have need of the rudiments of Christianity. And I can't give you meat, but I have to give you milk. Now, this is what I am ashamed of the people of God for. I remember some years ago being with a teacher that has been here, that is a widely known man that taught the deep things of God. And I was teaching in his assembly as I'm teaching you. And when I got through, he said, brother, what are you trying to do? Strangle us? And I thought I was just giving ordinary things of the Word of God. And so evidently what had happened was this, that these people, even this dear brother, I was telling him what was probably something that was elementary in one sense, but he was thinking of the people of God, and he said, "You're strangling them." Now, if I strangle you to death today, it's because I'm doing what Simon Peter did in obeying our Savior, who said, "Do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs." And when Peter is feeding the lambs, that's what he said. He said, "What I'm doing is feeding you, and I'm laying before you an outline of the steps that you should take if you're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because if you are a lamb, if you are a babe in Christ, and you do not grow, you can never know for certain that you're saved. Do you know that you're one of the elect? Do you know that?" He said, "Make your calling and election sure." Have you ever made your calling and election sure? God doesn't need to have it be made sure. I think He knows whom He has elected. But you do. And the only way that you can make your calling and election sure is by the life that you live that Peter is laying before you. Listen to him. He says, "God has given unto us His exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may become partakers of a divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world through lust." Well, at least you've escaped an hour from the world, the corruption of the world. You are here this morning. You've escaped it that much. But I don't know what's going to happen to you when you leave. You may go back out into the world. But he said this, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he says, "And for this very reason, because you have what I want you to do, is to consider this list of graces, qualities that I'm going to tell you about, and I want you to add them one by one to your life. You're a babe in Christ, and this is what I want you to do." And he says this, "Inasmuch as you have placed your faith in Christ, because of this, giving all diligence in your faith, add virtue. And in your virtue, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, patience. And in your patience, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love." All of these things are laid before them one by one. And he says, these are the qualities, these are the characteristics that I want to be in you as a Christian. And if you grow in grace, all of these things will be found in you. Now, which one of these things, one of them, is so prominent in you that I can look at you and say, this is a man of faith. This is a woman of virtue. This is a person of steadfastness. Which one of them reminds me of you? Not one of them is to be ours, but all eight of them are to be ours. And if you are truly a babe in Christ, thank God for that. At least faith is yours. Genuine faith. Because if not, if you haven't been born again, you're not a babe in Christ at all. But if faith is yours, then Peter is saying this. in your faith, giving all diligence, add virtue. Most of us are quite satisfied to be safe. I saw a frightening sign as I was coming over here. It said this, hell is eternal. Get saved now. Hell is eternal. Get saved now. That's plain enough. Somehow people think that hell is temporary or that nobody will go there, but this sign plainly said, hell is forever. Get saved now. So here, if you place your faith in Christ, that's one thing. But Peter is telling us that in addition to faith, these things are to be added so that your calling and election can be made sure. And salvation is one thing, but the assurance of salvation is an entirely different thing. And I do not know if you who profess faith in Christ can say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven. Why? Jesus told me so. That's one aspect. But it said, make your calling and election sure. And so listen again. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, do those things characterize your life? Or are they strange to you? And so if they're strange to you, you don't have any calling and election that is sure. Because the only way that you can make them sure, man would, is for you to, with all diligence, let these things arise in your life. And what God has done is this, and I rejoice in it, that God has given list after list of what we should do and what we should not do. And so we have no excuse. Let me ask you this. What do you think about during the week? Do you know that God has told you exactly what to think about? It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you realize that God tells you what to think about? Have you thought about any of these things this past week? Will you think about them the next week? And so God is giving you a list. You say, what should I set my mind on? He's given you all these things to think about. And another thing about making your calling and election sure. Paul says this in Corinthians. He says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You say, well, whom do you mean by the unrighteous? I'll tell you. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor revilers shall have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so you think of those things now. Think of them. And you say, well, I'm saved. Paul says, if any of these things are true concerning you after you profess to be saved, he said, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so you're not making your calling and election sure unless you turn from the evil things and turn towards God and then pursue in your life with all diligence a life of godliness, trying to make these things a part of your life now that you have a divine nature. Now, I know you have an Adamic nature. I'm well aware of it personally. But at the same time, you have a divine nature, and that divine nature can grow. It can become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you say, how? He tells you step by step to look at your life and say, faith, yes, I have faith in Christ. Well, is there virtue in your life? Is there knowledge? Is there self-control? Is there godliness? And if those things are missing, then you have no assurance. And you have not made your calling and election sure. And this is what is so heartbreaking. Some Christians go through life, and it may be when they stand before God, it may be that they think that their name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God will look for your name. He'll look carefully for your name, but if your name isn't there, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so that's what it says, make your calling and election sure. I can tell you the things I did in my unsaved days, and I can tell you this, that at least some of them are done away, and I've made some progress. That's one good thing. But God isn't satisfied with a little progress. He wants you to be known in such a way that from heaven He can point you out as a Christian that has certain characteristics. Do you realize that God in heaven knows certain Christians and what characterizes them? The Corinthians, God knows them. He said, Paul, they are carnal. Paul said, I know they are. I know that. But at the same time, when God in heaven is thinking about those who pray, He said, I think of two people. I think of Moses and I think of Samuel. Isn't that remarkable? That God said, if Moses and Samuel were praying for you, they wouldn't change my mind. If God could only from heaven look upon me and say, his prayer life is so strong that when I think of an example of one who prays, I think of that man. But I do not believe he would say that. I pray. But I'm not Moses and I'm not Samuel. But God thinks of them. And at the same time, I'm not as big a sinner as I used to be, thank God. But God in heaven is thinking about righteous individuals. Do you realize that Fayetteville could be destroyed, Goldsboro could be destroyed, but God says this from heaven. He said, if Noah and Daniel and Job were in that city, they would not save the city, they would only deliver their own souls. Think of that. That God in heaven is thinking of righteous believers. And he thinks of three. He says, I remember Noah. Yes. And I remember Daniel. And I remember Job. Yes. And also he gives Job a double credit. James tells us this. You have heard of the patience of Job. Now think of your life as a Christian. What is God going to say about you? What good thing would he say about you? Would he say, they're carnal. There's no way I can feed them with meat. I have to give them milk. And they do not even have a desire for milk. Now that is heartbreaking. But if you do not become the child of God that you should become, Simon Peter is going to say, it wasn't my fault. Why? Because he told you exactly what you had to do. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And I've seen this in little babies. Their mamas are holding them and they start crying, but mama has a bottle and they put that bottle in their mouth and the little thing just starts drinking that milk and the crying stops and the baby is satisfied. Now, I wonder how many of you long for the spiritual milk of the Word. If someone tries to feed you, I wonder if you would accept it. I've seen babies also that are fretting and crying, and the mother tries to give them that milk, and they don't want it. But some, they want the milk, and they take it, and they're satisfied. And some Christians have had milk, and they've grown strong, and now they want to hear about the deep things of God. And at times, people come to me with questions. And they are deep questions. And so I ask this. Well, first of all, do you know point 1, 2, and 3? And they say, no. And I have to tell them, well, you're not ready for the deep things of God. You have to know these three things before you can know that fourth thing. You want to know about eternal security, well, you have to know, first of all, that you are saved, that you belong to God. And so for that reason, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And what it says in the most ancient manuscripts is this, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. You don't go into salvation, but there is the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And you are to grow into salvation because God has a standard and He wants you to grow. And in Hebrews, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you've retrogressed, you've gone backwards, and you have need that someone give you the rudiments of Christianity, the ABCs of Christianity. From the very first, I wanted to know that Jesus is the Son of God. I wanted to know that I passed from death unto life, that having been saved, I could not be lost. I wanted to know for certain how things are going to be in heaven, that when the Lord comes, I'm not going to be left behind. I wanted to know that from the first day that I was saved, and thank God, I wanted to tell others about salvation since then. Because if not, it said this. It said, he that lacketh these things that I've told you, your faith add virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness. It says, he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Did you know that? That if you profess to be saved, you could forget that your sins have been forgiven? And some have to say this. Have you passed from death unto life? And they think of over and say, well, I remember when I was young, I went to Sunday school, and yeah, I think that I might have passed from. Isn't that a strange thing? That they thought their sins were forgiven, but they've forgotten about it, and they have to think back 20, 30, 50 years. Yes, I think at one time I professed faith in Christ. Yes, you've forgotten the forgiveness of your sins. How sad. And for that reason, Peter tells us that if you add diligently, one by one, all of these qualities that I am laying before you, you shan't be blind, seeing only what is near, but you will have an abundant, a rich entrance into the kingdom of God. if you, as a sinner, have genuinely trusted Christ as Savior, I promise you, according to God's Word, heaven will be your portion. But you're going as a beggar. It says this, some, when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, are going to see a fire burn up their whole life, everything they've done, all that they've tried to do for God, all that the life that could have been lived for God wasn't lived for God. And it says, if you have wood, hay, and stubble, the fire is going to burn it up. And when you get to heaven, you'll go with a handful of ashes and say, here you are, God. This is what I'm giving you. And it says, some are going to have a pauper entrance into the kingdom of God. But some, like the Apostle Paul, can say this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me that day. And not to me only, but to all of those that have loved his appearing. So you can go through life having trusted Christ as Savior, remaining a babe in Christ, and disappointing those that are trying to feed you the meat of the Word. You can go through life and not even desire the sincere milk of the Word. And when the time comes, and God only knows, because Christ alone is able to look into your heart and know, because when the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. It would take the omniscience of God to know whether you genuinely trusted Christ or not. For this reason, if you heard me cursing, denying that I even knew the Lord Jesus as Savior, you saw me do that. And then the next morning, I was standing here preaching to you. Would you listen to me? Well, that's what Peter had done one night. And I'm wondering if Peter later on ever preached to that maid that said, do you know Jesus? How embarrassing it would be. I remember this and I've never forgotten it. One man that professed faith in Christ, and he was in the filling station with some men, and they were talking one with another. And I came in and I had a hat on and some old clothes, and I heard him using God's name in vain. And so I wondered to this day if that man really was a Christian, because he was entering in to all that was carrying on with worldlings, those that denied Christ. And so, make your calling and election sure. Well, if you take God's name in vain, if you irreverently speak of the things of God, you're not going to have your calling and election made sure. You should doubt it and thank God. But if you do doubt it, you can make it sure for this reason. I know a man who had been a godly person from his childhood, but he was challenged when he was in his 20s, and they said, are you saved? He said, well, yes, I've always believed. He said, you've always believed. You know, you've never known yourself as a sinner and believed. He said, well, I've always believed. He said, there's no life in you. And he thought it through and he said, well, if I've never believed in the past, he said, I'm going to believe now, and I'm going to submit myself for Christian baptism. And this was a man that lived 21 years before he did it. So, make your calling and election sure. Do not be a pauper when you enter the kingdom of God, but have a rich
entrance into the kingdom of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you have left us without excuse when it comes to having all things that pertain to life and godliness. They are ours. They are in our hands. We pray, our Father, that we shall make use of these things, that we shall give all diligence, and that perhaps someday from heaven you shall look down and say, here is a righteous example I can use. Here is a man of prayer that I can point out to others. O God, be not ashamed of us, as Lot sat in the city gate, humiliated and ashamed. Our Father, let us be those that make our calling and election sure. Let us not be blind or short-sighted, but let us have what eyes that are filled with light, and let us enjoy all the things of God. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.